Welcome to In Your Corner, a program designed with you in mind. The Christian life is a fight, and we want you to know that we're in your corner. God the Father loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you, and has given his Holy Spirit to guide you and to keep you, and has given you people like myself in the body of Christ to help shepherd you along. Yes, we're in your corner. And the Bible says, if God be for us, then who then can be against us? We're here to help you get your day started with song, scripture, and prayer. Because we're going to beat that devil, we got to get filled with the Spirit of God. Then we got to get dressed up with the Word of God. Then we got to get prayed up with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to Almighty God. Yes, we're in your corner. So go wake up your sister. Go wake up your brother. Go wake up your niece. Go wake up your nephew. Go wake up your first cousin. Wake up your second cousin. Wake up your mommy and your daddy. Wake them all up and let them know that In Your Corner is on the air. Go wake them up now. Go wake them up. Get them out the bed, sleepyhead. We're beaming the love of God from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, urban Texas, throughout the known world, wherever the internet radio can be found. All right, get them out the bed, sleepyhead. Oh, I know what I need to go out here and do. I know what I need to go out here and do. Let me go out here and get my roosters. I got to go to the chicken yard. Come on, chick, chick, chick. Chick, chick, chick. Come on, chick, chick, chick. Come on out here. Come on. Come on out the gate. Come on out the gate. I want you out in the yard this morning, rooster. Come on, come on. I want y'all out in the yard this morning. Come on, come on. Yeah. Yeah, get close, get close, get close to the radio, get close where these people can really hear you. All right, thank y'all Rooster, thank you Benny, thank you Red, thank you Crow. Let me put these Roosters back up now, let me go and get a good song. This was a song back in the day called Going Up Yonder by Walter Hawkins and the Love Center Choir. Y'all come on to the mic. Y'all come on to the mic. Come on. Come on, Walter. Don't be shy. Come on to the mic.
I'll run this race until I see my Savior.
That was the late, great Walter Hawkins, ladies and gentlemen, the Love Center Choir. Oh, one of the great songs of back in the day, Going Up Yonder. All right, all right. That's your song for the day. That's your song for the day. Listen, listen, listen. We're not just having church. We're going somewhere. When this life is over with down here, we're going to a better place. We're going up yonder. All right, all right. That's your song for the day. That's your song for the day. It's time to read the Bible. It's time to read the Bible. Go get your Bible. We're going to be reading today out of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 14 through Acts chapter 16. That's Acts chapter 14 through Acts chapter 16. Reading along this morning with the Bible Experience.
At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the other Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among both Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe, and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the gospel. In Lystra there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out,
"Stand up on your feet."
At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language,
"Mighty Zeus, the gods have come down to us in human form."
Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting,
"Friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy."
Powerful are you, Hermes.
Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith.
"We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God."
Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Certain individuals came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers,
"Unless you are circumcised, according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved."
This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. The church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all the believers very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said,
"The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses."
The apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them.
"Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are."
The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke up.
"Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this. As it is written, 'After this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the rest of humanity may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name,' says the Lord, 'who does these things, things known from long ago. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For the law of Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath."
Then the apostles and elders, with the whole church, decided to choose some of their own men and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They chose Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, who were leaders among the believers. With them, they sent the following letter.
"The apostles and elders, your brothers, to the Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. We have heard that some went out from us without our authorization and disturbed you, troubling your minds by what they said. So we all agreed to choose some men and send them to you with our dear friends Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we are writing. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things. Farewell."
So they were sent off and went down to Antioch, where they gathered the church together and delivered the letter. The people read it and were glad for its encouraging message. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the believers. After spending some time there, they were sent off by the believers with the blessing of peace to return to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas,
"Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing."
Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him,
"Come over to Macedonia and help us."
After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day, we went on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home.
"If you consider me a believer in the Lord,"
she said,
"come and stay at my house."
And she persuaded us. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting,
"These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved."
She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit,
"In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her."
At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said,
"These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice."
The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted,
"Don't harm yourself. We are all here."
The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked,
"Lights! Lights! Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
They replied,
"Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household."
Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order,
"Praise be to God! Release those men!"
The jailer told Paul,
"The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace."
But Paul said to the officers,
"They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No! Let them come themselves and escort us out."
The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the believers and encouraged them. Then they left.
All right. That was our scripture reading for the day. We read out of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 14 through 16. May God bless those who read and who heard his holy word. All right, it's prayer time now, y'all. It's prayer time. Come on, y'all. Circle up round the altar. Let's pray. Family that prays together, the family that stay together. Come on, mama, daddy, sister, brother, niece, nephew, first, second cousin, whoever's in the house. Come on, y'all. Y'all know how we do it. Come on, come on, come on. Let's make our circle. Let's make our chain, our family chain. All right. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we praise you once again for giving us another day and another wonderful week. Lord, we just praise you, dear God. You have brought us all the way, dear God, to Friday. And we just thank you, dear God. Now, Lord, we pray, dear God, not only for this day, but Lord, we're even praying about the weekend. We pray, dear God, that you will just start preparing the hearts and mind of your people, dear God, that we can be ready for church on Sunday, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you will touch that prodigal son, that prodigal daughter, bring that person to church, back to church on this Sunday, dear God. And then, Lord, we pray that they not only just come to church, but after they hear that word that's coming from you, oh God, that they will come back and reunite again with the church and rededicate themselves to the work of the Lord. Lord, we pray, dear God, for the preachers that's going to be preaching your word. We pray for the Sunday school teachers that's going to be teaching your word. Whoever is going to be doing anything in the house of the Lord, Lord, we pray for them. We pray for the greeters. We pray for the parking lot ministry. Dear God, we pray for the ushers. We pray for the choir, dear God, that the choirs will truly sing songs of Zion, dear God. We pray that you will anoint them with power on high. Oh Lord, we need your anointing today because it's the spirit that breaks the yoke. Oh dear God, we need you today. We need you today. Lord, your people are standing in need of prayer. Help us, dear God. Draw your people close to yourself. Your people, they need you today, dear God. Oh dear God, that single mom needs you today. That daddy needs you today, dear God. Oh, even that young family. Those that couple that's in their 20s, dear God, who's trying to get the family started, and Lord, they don't know how to raise children, so they need your help today, dear God. Help them in a mighty, mighty way. Lord, that mama that's got a sick child, touch right now. Touch that sick child in a mighty way, dear God. We pray for those that are sick. Touch their bodies, dear God, that they can be well. So Lord, we just put all of these concerns before you, and we know that you're going to bless because we ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake we do pray. Amen. All right, that's it. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. We done sung our song. We done had our scripture. We done had our prayer. And look like the clock on the wall is saying that's all for this portion of In Your Corner. Thank you so kindly for joining us today. Thank you for getting out the bed, sleepy head. Thank you for getting up with the Rusters this morning. Oh, it was a plum pleasure to have you today. Let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. So get ready for that early morning sermon. We're getting ready to get it on for you. We'll play a couple of commercials, and then we'll get that early morning sermon on for you. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll be back with Ghostbusters, because we got some strange things happening in the neighborhood. Somebody needs to say something about it. You know, we're your watchmen on the wall. We are informing you and educating you, empowering you on the issues of our day. Then at 8 o'clock, I'll be back again in the Situation Room. Then at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church, a wonderful church right here in Irving, Texas. If you ever in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you just gotta stop by and worship with us. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, missed any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us. Because we are in your corner.